Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order.
There's none open.
The clerk will take note of the roll. Quorum being present. Representative Doubt moves the minutes from Tuesday, January 31st.
And then here.
Representative Hamilton.
So move.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Members, in your packet, the first item of business today, we have three items of business. The first will be our deadlines. You'll notice in the packet that we have first, second, third deadlines, those being March 16th, March 23rd, and March 30th. We need to formalize this with the Senate. I'd move the House concurrent resolution number 5. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion prevails. The next piece of business that we have is our proposed calendar for Thursday, February 9th, 2012. If you have that in your packet, I will go ahead and move the proposed calendar for Thursday, February 9th. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion prevails. The next item of business is the resolution on committee budgets. I would move the R2 resolution on committee budgets at this time. Resolution adopts the committee budgets for the House. If you folks recall, we had moved a $2,000 per committee budget in the last session. We normally would do that, ratify the total committee budgets in the interim to save cost. We didn't want to bring folks together in the interim, so we moved it to now. Therefore, we're ratifying those budgets here. Greg Crow is available to answer any questions that we have on individual committee budgets or anything that we have for that. So I'd open that up for discussion at this time.
Mr. Chair, if I could get some clarification.
Sure.
So previously, you said there was a $2,000 per committee budget. And I see that capital investments budget is going to be $20,000. So you anticipate they're going to spend $20,000 between January 1 and December 31, or is some of that to make up for what they spent when their budget was only $2,000?
I believe the budget, the speaker also had ability to appropriate additional funds as committee chairs on and members of the majority and minority requested those. So if that may in fact be already dispensed above 2,000, and what that burn rate is on that between now and the end of session, I don't know. But maybe Mr. Crow could give us a historical answer to that question about how those are dispensed.
Mr. Crow, if I could just repeat the question so that you heard. I see that capital investment was given a $2,000 budget last year, and now they're being given a $20,000 budget. So my question is that for money that was already spent that wasn't previously approved, or is that in anticipation of them spending $20,000 between January 1 and December 31st?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hellstrom and members, the additional amount would be for two things. One, to cover spending that the committees have done in the interim that was approved by the speaker up until now, and then for any additional spending they might have from now until the end of this calendar year.
Mr. Chair, can we get a breakdown then of what actually was already spent and that this is going to backfill for? That just would be helpful to know.
Mr. Chair, yes, we can provide that to members of where the committee budgets stand right now.
Further discussion. No further discussion. With that, I'll renew the motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. The next item is the resolution on expense reimbursement. And this you'll find in your packets. This is the R1A resolution. This addresses a concern that members had about district travel. The only change is to allow for mileage travel and constituent work that is not outside the district but within any of the counties adjoining. So what would happen is we had members that would have to have legitimate travel for their constituent services. So, for example, you live in one county and your county seat is in the adjoining county, you'd have to travel to that for business to do for your constituent work. The way we had it before, we couldn't count for that, what it would be, intra-county travel, but this would allow for adjoining counties. So if you got to go to your county seat or you got district work in an adjoining county, that would allow for this to be covered to address a legitimate concern that members had about not being able to be reimbursed for their constituent travel work. So this is a fix for that. Is there any questions about the R1A? Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I had a question not specifically about that change, but a little bit farther down, I had a couple members ask about this minimum allowable amount of $100 and what the origin of that was. Why would you have got to spend at least $100 before you can collect anything? And there's a question about why we have that.
Hey, Representative Thiessen. Mr. Crow can probably give a better answer than
Mr. Chair, Representative Thiessen and members. This is actually a minimum maximum.
Yes, I see that.
So they don't have to spend $100 first. It's that the minimum, if you use this formula, some of the districts are so small that they would only be allowed to claim $20 or $30 a month. So this says they can claim up to $100 of mileage regardless of how small their legislative district is how that works. So obviously it's mostly metro district, or it's all metro districts, and so they
Representative Thiessen.
So the way you interpret this is if I spend $20 traveling around Michigan, I don't know how I'd even do that, but that I could collect $100?
No, Mr. Chair and Representative Thiessen, I apologize. Let me be a little clear. No, the way we interpret it is that the minimum, the phrase minimum allowable amount is that everyone gets an allowable amount of at least $100. So we have this formula that says based on the size of your district, how much is your allowable amount, and if it's really small, your allowable amount might only be $20. And so rather than limiting it, and I don't know why, but it's when they put this area formula in, they said everybody gets at least $100 of reimbursement and then over and above for larger districts.
So if someone's, Mr. Chair, if someone spends $50, they can still get $50. Okay, I think that solves the question that came to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. Is there further discussion? Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, I think to that issue, and Mr. Crow, I'm wondering if is part of that language relate to when the amount was just paid a lump sum each month for travel? And under the mileage reimbursement scenario we have now, the minimum to me probably is not needed language, or am I that when I read it, that's what I thought. It looked like it was still combining the two when we used to have just lump sum district travel reimbursement. And secondly, Mr. Chair, to clarify, is this intended to be retroactive or prospective?
Mr. Crow, can you?
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom and members, the $100 minimum was created when there was the dual reimbursement of either a lump sum or a reimbursement based on the member's choosing. And I'm not sure what equity issue brought that $100 minimum to the table, but I would suggest that it probably is still needed because there's some minimum amount of travel that occurs regardless of how small a legislative district is, and I think that's what it was intended to address, is that every member, regardless of the size of their district, does some travel, and that should be reimbursed. And using the formula, the area formula to calculate that maximum would have restricted those small districts too much. And as to your second question, the change would be prospective for the upcoming interim.
So, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Westrom.
Mr. Crow, so basically, what under the mileage reimbursement, you're saying there still is a maximum to a member based on the size of their district, with the low end being 100. and the high end being, well, 850 or that other formula that adds $100 per 1,000 square feet per miles. So currently, if your maximum was at $500, for an example, and somebody drove 4,000 miles in their district 1 month for a lot of meetings, that would be capped, and all of that would be reimbursed.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, that's correct. Just as it was with the old formula, the reimbursement is limited to the cap as calculated by the area, regardless of how many miles or how much a member wants to be reimbursed.
Thank you.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So that doesn't seem like what the words say, so I think maybe we should spend some time and revisit this. We don't have to do it today, but I think it would be worth clarifying that that is the policy that actually is applied here. It seems like the words say something. So if you're open to that, we can make a time to leave that issue for now to work on it.
Yeah. If it's if it needs to be tightened up, we can certainly revisit that. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Norton.
Yeah, I just wondered if, for clarification, and I didn't hear a rationale, and if I did, I apologize. The or within any county that isn't adjacent to a county that is part of a member's legislative district, when this is about constituent travel and those folks wouldn't be constituents, I was just wondering the rationale and how we got to that.
Yes, Representative Norton, that was a concern that was brought up by several greater Minnesota legislators, where you would have to travel into your neighbor's district for district work, and examples would be county seats that might be in an adjoining district that would cover, in fact, your area, where you might have two representatives covering the same county. Having to travel into an adjoining county or to get to a county seat, or groups of legislators grouping in a major regional center for constituent work that covers many districts. So that was the purpose for the change.
And Mr. Chair, just I guess I because this is a redistricting time that we're in the middle of right now, I guess that's why this raises a little bit of a red flag for me when folks don't know their districts, that it could be used inappropriately as well. So I would hope that that explanation goes with this approval so that it isn't taken advantage of in an inappropriate way. Not that any of us would ever do that. But
no, I think the map that we got is the map that we got until the next time, and I think that's probably what the interpretation is, and people are just trying to get fairly compensated for doing their constituent work. I think that's reasonable. Other discussion? With not, I will renew my motion for the R1A, and all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. And with that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you.